Thank you and good afternoon. Someone has said what America really needs most are those things which money cannot buy. We're happy again to have the privilege of Bible study, and we're glad that you're listening to our Bible Meditations program. We'll get into our study now. We'd like for you to look with us to the book of 1 Corinthians, a letter that was written by the Apostle Paul and written to the church at Corinth. In Corinth, we have a city that is surrounded with all kinds of evil. The church has been established through the preaching of the Apostle Paul, and Paul was indeed trying to help them as they corrected some of the errors that had come up in regard to their spiritual life. Well, let's look as Paul begins in chapter 1 with verse 10. Now I beseech you, brethren, by the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that you all speak the same thing, and that there be no divisions among you, but that you be perfectly joined together in the same mind and in the same judgment. Now, I'd like for us to stop just a moment and notice that Paul is urgently trying to get them to listen to reason in regard to their spiritual condition. I beseech you, brethren. And then he calls upon the Lord Jesus Christ. It is by his name that I'm beseeching you or begging you along this particular line. Have you ever noticed the use of the multiple term Lord Jesus Christ in the writings of the Apostle Paul? The word Lord implies the idea of a ruler, one who is over and gives instruction unto others. Jesus carries with it the idea of being the Savior. In Matthew chapter 1, you remember the expression in verse 21, ye shall call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. And then the term Christ refers to being anointed, that is, God had a work for him to do. He had the approval of God, and that approval was his anointing, and so he is the Christ. Now, you look at those terms and look at the coverage that this gives to the work of Christ. He's the Lord, he's over all. He's Jesus, he's the Savior of the world. And he's Christ, that is, he has a job to do. He has an appointment given by God in regard to what he's to be doing. And so I'm beseeching you now, brethren, by the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. It is through his name and by his authority. We understand that expression, in the name of, to signify the idea of authority behind. And so it is by the authority of the Lord Jesus Christ. But I'm urging you by his authority. Now here's what he was wanting them to do. You all speak the same thing, and that there be no divisions among you, but that you be perfectly joined together in the same mind and in the same judgment. Now, I ask you very frankly, is that the picture you have of the religious world today? Does every preacher say exactly the same thing? Do all religious bodies say the same thing? And are they all of the same mind? And there would be no division among us? Well, I think quite obviously we're able to detect that not everybody is saying the same thing in religion. Not everybody is doing the same thing or is practicing the same thing in religious activity. We have division among us. But Paul said, I'm pleading that there be no division among us. Well, now how is it that we would be able to speak in religion and not be divided? The religious world has come up with this idea in general. It's the idea that you believe what you want to believe, and I'll believe what I want to believe. You say what you want to say, and I'll say what I want to say, and that's what God wants. No, it isn't what God wants. God doesn't want us becoming a standard of right and wrong in and of ourselves. The standard is the standard that God has given, and He is the one who determines what we should be saying in religious matters. Is it not true that division exists in Chester, West Virginia, among religious people? Is it true that in East Liverpool, Ohio, there's religious division? There are people saying one thing, there are other people contradicting what they say, and so there is not that every man speaking the same thing. Well, what's the reason for that? Can we point toward God and say, now you're responsible because your word has produced such division? Well, friends, it makes some mockery out of the appeal that Paul made in regard to unity, if that's the case. Every man is not the dividing force and the one who makes up his own mind what he's going to do in religious matters. I'm reminded of a statement in the book of Joshua, or rather Judges, and this is chapter 21 and verse 25. The record says there was no king in Israel in those days. Therefore, every man did that which was right in his own eyes. Now, how can we be united, no division among us, when everybody does that which is right in his own eyes? Well, of course, that's not possible. There are people who feel one way and others who feel another. Now, if that's acceptable to God, then everyone has a right to do just anything they want to do in religious matters. Is that what the Bible teaches? Did God design division to be acceptable in His sight? Some years ago, I had a teacher in school who used to say, we should be thankful that there are many churches and many ideas on religious matters in our community. And then everybody can just pick the one that is the most in harmony with their own view and can attend and worship and work with that religious group that most meets their own view. Well, think about that for a minute. Is it true then that each person becomes the standard of right and wrong? Or was Paul totally off base when he said, I want you all to be speaking the same thing? I don't want you to be divided. I want you to be of one mind, the same mind, and the same judgment. Well, friends, he was not talking about an impossibility. He was talking about something which very clearly is possible, but sometimes does not exist. In describing the situation of our world today, we would have much the same idea. We have people in our world who believe that there is no standard of right and wrong. They simply believe that you do anything that you want to do, that the Bible is just a guidebook, and if you don't agree with the direction the guidebook gives, you can just go any way you want to go. No wonder we're greatly divided among religious people. And when we look at that kind of division and point a finger toward our God saying, you caused the division, friends, there's something wrong somewhere. God is not the cause of religious division. God pleads through the Apostle Paul that we all speak the same thing, that there be no divisions among us, but that we be perfectly joined together in the same mind and the same judgment. The Lord willing, we'll continue our discussion tomorrow. I do hope you'll be listening. Remember, in the meantime, it was Jesus who said, he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. We now return you to our announcer.